So who remembers a couple of weeks back, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, I preached and I gave you guys a list of scriptures that I challenged you guys to memorize. Do you guys remember that? Okay, some of you remember that. Let's get that list up quickly. Next. Okay. So I challenge you guys to memorize all these scriptures. And so I'm gonna give a slab of chocolate to anyone who can tell me three of those. Come on, John 3:16. That's like a giveaway. Okay. Well, I'm gonna add on a bit more of incentive. Okay. So this is the challenge. Okay. If you memorize all of these scriptures. Okay, the first three to do so, there will be iTunes vouchers up for grabs. Okay, so I'm giving away three. I'm scared to say the amount because I actually haven't told Omu the amount. So I'll discuss it with Omu later. Three iTunes vouchers are up for grabs. And the way we're going to do it, just because it's the first three, because you know, I'm scared everybody's going to take up the challenge, then I'm in trouble. So the way we're going to do it is if you memorize them, you say them to your small group leader, and your small group leader says, Luke, so-and-so memorized all these scriptures, all of them. So you can write them down quickly if you got them. Otherwise, I will send them out to the small group leaders during the week. You can distribute them, or you can take a picture of them. That's very clever. Okay, somebody wants that iTunes voucher. So like I say, there will be three iTunes vouchers up for grabs to the first three people that memorize all these scriptures. Lekker, okay? Sounds like a good deal, eh? Okay, good. So these scriptures, when I gave a sermon last 3 weeks back, they're really good if you want for wanting to share the gospel with somebody. So they summarize things that you might want to know if you want to share the gospel with somebody. Okay, what does the Bible say about certain somebody gets saved? What you need to do to get saved? Okay, why do you need to get saved? Romans 3 verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Right? John 3:16, come on, somebody. Fantastic. Okay, lekker. So we want you to know your Bible, right? Because the Bible is a sword. You know that the Bible is a sword. Okay, go read the last chapter of Ephesians. It talks about the armor of God. It tells you that your Bible is a sword. Why do you need a sword? Because you are in a war. And you can't fight a war without a weapon. So if you don't know your Bible, you're in trouble. Okay. So now we're going to be talking about another key scripture. So these are a bunch of scriptures that I recommend you know. If there's scriptures that you must know as a Christian, you should know these ones. These are the basic ones. If you're struggling, if you like this Bible is this massive thing, you don't know where to start, these scriptures are a great place to start. Okay? Next slide, please. But this is scripture I'm going to be talking about today. So I'm going to be talking about the whole of Romans 8. And there's a very important reason why you should know Romans 8. This is a classic scripture. It's one of my favorites. If you talk to any Christian who's been around for a long time, they're going to tell you, Romans 8, awesome. Okay, so take it from me. You want to know Romans 8. So, go to the next slide. It's not working. Okay, great. Yes, there. So why is it so important? Okay. The scripture on Romans 8 deals with the way that you think. Think being the key word. Everybody say think. Think, okay, about your past, your future, and your present. And I'm saying it in that order deliberately, okay? Obviously, your future doesn't come before your presence. Anyway, whatever. Okay. But there's a specific reason. I'm going to go, we're going to be getting also very practical. Always like to get practical. So we're going to be ministering to each other. I'm going to be just going through those, past, future, present, and then we're going to minister to each other after every point. But now the reason why I said think is an important word. Okay, so we're in a battle. And 99% of your battle is going to take place up here. Okay, can all the Christians in the house say amen? Okay, it's mostly up here. Okay, and when you need to wage a war, and that war is going on here, you need to know scripture. And when you're trying to battle your own mind and things aren't working out, and your past comes to haunt you, you're unsure about your future, and you don't know how to get through today, Romans 8 is a pretty good place to go. Okay? So who here can tell me that their past, they don't worry about their past, it's all good, you know, what's gone is gone, no regrets, you know. If you're laughing, you need deliverance. Okay. Yeah, I know. I'll talk to you afterwards. Okay. Who here can say that? The past doesn't come up to haunt them. Eh? Okay. I'm the type of person where I like to mull things over in my mind. I do something or say something, and for a month afterwards, it's up here in my head. Can you guys... I love what Paul says. Paul says in Romans 7, verse 15, says, I just want you to get the frustration here, okay? Like, this guy, he's just so cheesed off with himself. He's like, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Who of you can relate to that? Okay? There's stuff you know you should be doing, right? And there's stuff you know you shouldn't be doing. And for some reason, you know, it's just not lining up. And Paul is just so frustrated with himself. Yeah, Paul often references to this thorn in his side. Theologians aren't entirely sure exactly what that means, what he's referring to. Some people say that he had a sickness. Other people say there were sort of spiritual burdens that he's dealing with, but I like to think, personally, I think when Paul referred to this thorn in his side, it's the fact that he's a human being, and he's always wrestling with the fact that he has a sinful nature, and it gets to him sometimes. What I love about reading Romans is that you just get, this guy knows what you're going through, okay? The frustration, the pain, the struggle of being a Christian, everyday Christian in your mind, what you're going through in your day. And here Paul comes and says, you know, I don't understand myself. You know, I can't even figure myself out, never mind the next person. Things that I want to do, I'm not doing. And the things that I hate, that's what I'm doing. Just, you know, and I so relate to that. I just so relate to the fact that I wish that when I got saved, and sometimes people, you know, you kind of get this impression that when you get saved, everything's going to be sorted out. You're going to have no problems. It's all downhill from here. Clean sailing into the sunset. You know how those romantic comedies end? And ends with the wedding, and that's like, oh, yay, they made it, you know. No, that's done by people that's never been married, okay? The challenge starts there. Marriage is hard. It's great. You know, Christianity is great. It's hard. You know, and we're told, you know, meet Jesus. Everything's great. You know, your life's going to turn out fantastic. There's going to be R1 million for you waiting in your bank account. You know, and then disappointment comes, and most of the disappointment comes from you, in fact. The fact that you can't get yourself to line up with what Scripture says. And then Paul goes on in Romans 7, verse 24. He says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? verse 25, he says, but thank Jesus. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ who comes to save. So what we're going to do, okay, we're going to break up into groups, 4 or 5. If you're here with your small group, that's better. Break up into your small group, okay? So what I'm going to do is, by the end of tonight, we're going to read through the whole of Romans 8, okay? So we're going to break up into groups now. I'm going to read through a passage of Scripture, okay? And when we're talking about, so now, for instance, we're talking about our past. I'm going to read through this passage of Scripture. And we're going to thank God after we've reached the Scripture, after I've explained a few things. We're going to thank God that your past and your sinful nature and who you are is not dependent on you. It's dependent on Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. Okay, so let's break up into groups now. You can get going. 4 or 5, preferably in your small groups or something, with people you know. If you don't know anybody, find a group. Look for people that smile at you. Just wait. I'm just waiting for everyone. Okay. You guys getting settled in? Guys found somebody that looks friendly. Okay, hopefully they don't bite. We at Shofar take no responsibility for the people here. Okay. Past Romans 8. Okay. Romans 8 comes after Romans 7, in case you wanted to know. Pleasure. Always here to help. Okay, lekker. So I'm going to read a bit of Scripture. This is the long one, so you just got to sit in. The next two parts are going to be short. But I want to read this to you, and I just want you, if it helps you to concentrate, just to close your eyes. What I'm praying for is that God opens up your heart and opens up your mind to a new revelation of what I'm going to be reading, okay? So now, just to give you context, Romans 8, as I said, follows Romans 7. And in Romans 7, Paul talks about the fact that, you know, he's struggling. You know, like, it's hard. I'm trying to do the best that I can do, but I'm struggling. I'm really battling, you know. And then he starts off with Romans 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by a sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemns sin in sinful man in order that the righteousness requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature but according to the Spirit. The requirements of the law are not accomplished by your actions but by the actions of Christ on the cross. The law has been fulfilled. Your debt has been paid. Not by your actions, but by the actions of Christ on the cross. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on that what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind of controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. How many of you desire life? Rhetorical question. How many of you desire peace? Okay? The way that's going to come is through a mind that is controlled by the Spirit. Okay? The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, those who have accepted Christ, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. It's not a righteousness that you obtain. It's a righteousness that comes from Christ and what he did on the cross for you. And if the spirit of him who has raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature. We have no, there's no debt that we have to pay towards our sinful nature. There's no law that says that we have to do something. There's no debt we have to pay. There's nothing that we have to do. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if in the spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. When you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. It is not the purpose and it is not the will of God to make you a slave of fear. I'm going to read that again. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. If you're being afraid, it's not from God. It's not what God came to give you. This is what you did receive from God. When you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is what you received. You received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. When whatever you've done in your past, whatever that's come up to now, when you gave your heart to Jesus, it's gone. And when God gave you a renewed spirit, that spirit will not put you in a place of fear of the things that you've done in the past. If you're afraid of the things that you've done in the past, that is not from God. That is not his will. That is not the way that he desires for you to live. Because from him, you get a spirit of sonship. And with that spirit of sonship, you cry out to God, the God of all gods, the King of all kings, the one who made heaven and earth. You can call him Father. Your spirit cries out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit himself is testifying with our spirit that we are God's children. When you gave your heart to Jesus, the Holy Spirit started testifying on your behalf, whether you know it or not, whether you feel it or not, in the throne room of God, that you are now a son or a daughter of God. Understand what I'm saying? Now, if we are children, then we are also heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Great. We need to get something right. Before we can move forward, we've got to put to death our past. And for me personally, I come from a background where, grew up in a Christian home, started smoking weed when I was in matric, got to varsity, got even worse, drinking every weekend, smoking every day, and there was, when I got saved, there was this. Period of time where I just didn't feel like I could be accepted in a church with all these people who seem to have their lives together. And there was a misunderstanding from my part. A misunderstanding that when God came and saved me, when I gave my life to Jesus, those things from the past were gone. Because the problem is that I identified myself by those things, okay? I identified myself as a stoner. I identified myself as a muso. I like my music. I like collecting music. I like listening to random bland bands. Some of them were a bit bland. Bands that had some random Incan flute that nobody's ever heard of because I wanted to be cool and run with all the cool kids. And when I got saved, I needed to hang on to this identity because I felt like if I didn't have that, I didn't have anything, you know. But there's an identity waiting for me. There's an identity waiting for you that is so much greater than that. And it's an identity of a son, of a daughter, of a co-heir. You know what an heir is? To be an heir of a king. In other words, there's an inheritance waiting for you. Okay, and when your daddy's the king of all kings and the god of all gods, it's a pretty decent inheritance waiting for you, okay? Trust fund kids, come on. Amen. But there's an identity that I needed to hang on to because I felt like, you know, I'd spent so much time trying to fit in and try to build up this thing that I thought would make me, you know, whatever, significant. And it's difficult to let go of. It's difficult to put to rest the past. And sometimes, even when I have accepted the fact that I am a son of God, the enemy comes and says, you know, Luke, you're a great person, but what about this, this, and this? You know, you used to do this, this, and this. One thing I don't shame very often, it's quite a funny story, actually. I got saved, and I was very, you know, very overzealous about a lot of things. And I went, you know, just, you know, for me, like, yeah, man, love is everywhere, you know, God, ooh, yeah. And then, you know, I ended up, what happened was a friend invited me, he was a Muslim friend, invited me to a mosque. And I ended up praying in this mosque, like, 4 weeks after I just got saved. And I came out of there, and then I've got to go to church, and then people started telling me, no, you know, Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. And I'm like, okay. Probably shouldn't tell them about this. Anyway, feeling really bad, went to Amu and said, yeah, Amu, you know, like, I'm really struggling to say this thing to him. And Amu was just like, yeah, I'll repent and then move on. I was like, oh, is that it? He's like, yeah. Oh, okay, cool, you know. And we make such a big deal of such small things, you know. Isn't that so true, you know? And then we find out that when we actually repent, when we bring these things to God, we're just like, why didn't I do this like 3 years ago, you know? Can you relate to what I'm saying, you know? So in your groups, what you're going to do now, okay, we're going to get personal, we're going to get intimate, and I don't want to freak you out or anything, but what I will say is that the more you put into this, the more you're going to get out, okay? And you're just going to spend a bit of time just praying on by yourself in your group, just pray by yourself, just ask God if there's things in your life that you haven't put to rest, okay? There's things that you're still carrying, there's things that you're still holding on to, okay? And so just pray for a minute or so, and then I'm going to ask you to share that with the group, okay? Because there's a lot of power and there's a lot of freedom just getting these things out into the open, okay? And then after you've shared, after everybody's had a bit of time to share with the group, we're going to try to keep this session short to 5 minutes, so just a minute, pray by yourself, a few minutes of sharing, and then you're all going to pray for each other, okay? So each person, just pray for the person next to you, okay? And just, you're gonna thank God that this person has confessed, they've brought this thing to the light, okay? That and just thank God for the freedom that they have, according to Romans 8, that they are not defined by their old sinful nature. Because they are a Christian, they are defined by the fact that they are a son or a daughter of God. Amen. Okay, so we're just going to thank God for that. Okay, so just take a minute, just in your own personal capacity, if there's something from your past, just something about the way that you think about yourself, that you know, I'm just going to ask that God reveals things to you now, just as you're praying, just as you close your eyes, that lies about the way that you think about yourself get exposed right now in the name of Jesus. And as I'm speaking, that God is revealing to you things that you need to give up in terms of the way that you think about yourself. Some people here, they've been holding on to things for far too long. There's somebody here who is addicted to feeling sorry for yourself. It's something that, it's an identity that you need to let go of. You're addicted to feeling sorry for yourself. There's a revelation of joy being your strength. Okay, we can just take some time. Just if you want to share, you don't have to. Please don't feel obliged to share, to come up with something. If you don't feel like sharing, it's fine. But just in your groups, just talk about that just for a few minutes. Just confess it. Just bring it out into the open. As I said, there's no obligation. I don't want you to feel pressured. But I will say, the more you put into this, the more you're going to get out. Okay. Okay. If you haven't prayed for everybody, it's okay. We're going to get back into our groups just now, and we're going to continue. We're going to talk about our futures for just a second. Read a bit more scripture, and then we're going to go back into our groups. The past comes up, but sometimes we worry about the future, right? We want to know that there's a purpose to this. We want to know that the things we're going through, you know, does it mean anything? Is it for anything? The biggest fear that I have, okay, I don't have a fear of hell, because in my mind, if there's a hell, then there's a heaven, and there's a God, and then we're all okay. You know, the biggest fear I have is the thought of not existing, and it's a fear that I've dealt with. It's a fear that when I first got saved. I got saved 2 weeks before I got saved. I was smoking a joint, having a good time. Had a complete breakdown, freaked out. And what happened was, this picture came to my mind, and I saw my life like this open book, this picture book. And, you know, it didn't really look so great, so that was also depressing. And, but this book started to close, and there wasn't flames, you know, there wasn't anything, there was just blackness, there was a void, there was nothing. And it came to my head that when this book closes, I'm going to be left in this nothingness, in this void, and I'm going to not exist. It terrifies me. And in the middle of this, while this book is closing, it's just about this gold figure appears in the middle of it, and his hands grab the edges of the book, and he yanks it open. And I sit up straight, I was lying down, sit up straight, sober, like I hadn't smoked anything that evening. And I had a clear choice. There's a very clear choice presented. I can go back to sleep. I'll be okay. I'll wake up in the morning, continue with my life like nothing happened. Or I've got to go get up and I've got to make some changes. And there's a whole lot of bit of song and dance and a bit of drama, but what it led to, 2 weeks later, I was walking with a guy in my class, one of these goody-goody Christians I spoke about earlier, and he just seemed to have everything going for him, you know, like a surfer dude, like a chick on the side, you know, going to church, everybody loved him, everybody. And I didn't really like him at all. My brother's married to his sister, that's also how I knew him, so I kind of like, also family, you know, yeah, this guy, you know. And walking with him to class, and, you know, the reason why I didn't like him was because he just seemed to have his stuff together, and I was like, he asked me, how's it going, Luke? And, you know, usually when somebody goes, oh, how's it going, you go, oh, yeah, no, I'm good, how are you, you know. And for some reason, I just had verbal diarrhea, and I just all over him and just spilt the beans. And he's like, he's a bit shaken, but he's like, you know what works for me? Why don't you come to church, Luke? And I'm like, oh gosh, church. Rolled my eyes. But at that point, I was just like, well, you know, whatever. Can't get any worse than this. You know, it's not, I don't feel like my life is going anywhere. I don't feel like anything's making any sense. It doesn't feel like there's a point to anything. At that point, I had told myself that come Monday, ex cla, I'm making an end. Cheers. See you all. So he comes and says, come to church with me. And I was like, yeah, what have I got to lose, you know? So I went to church, met God for the first time. I wish I could describe to you what happened in that church service. It's very difficult. You know, I get very excited about it. Then I tell people, oh, that's cool. Like, no, but you don't understand. I met God. It was a crazy, wild experience. And I came out of that session being delivered, and I knew, okay, I didn't choose to believe. I knew that there was a God. And I knew that all this meant something. Okay? That I'm going somewhere, that the best years of my life are not behind me, they're ahead of me. I feel that's a word for somebody here as well. Somebody sitting here. God's telling you that the best years of your life are not behind you, they're ahead of you. Okay. Okay. Somebody, whoever you are, write that down. But there's an understanding that when I was with God, everything makes sense, and without Him, nothing does. Okay? There's no, to me, without God, there's no point in anything. I'm not scared of hell. I'm not scared of demons. What I'm scared of is not having God. There's an understanding that we need to get back to. Us charismatics don't like talking about the fear of the Lord. The fact that God is all-knowing, all-encompassing, that He is to be revered. And that when you are with Him, your life has purpose and it has meaning. That what you think is good now, what you think you got it good now, you don't know what you're in for. It's going to get even better. And if you don't think you got it good now, it's going to get better. Okay, so I'm going to read the scripture. It's an awesome passage of scripture in Romans 8, starts from verse 18. So I want you to listen up. And the point of the scripture is hope. And I feel God saying that there are people here, you understand what I'm talking about, but it's a matter of hope. That somewhere along the line you've lost hope. And my prayer for you tonight is that God restores hope, because hope has to do with the future. We understand what the Bible says, makes sense over here, but there's something, the translation, there's a broken telephone going on to down here in your heart. And that translates into hopelessness. when there's a lack of communication from what God reveals up here to how it translates down here, it's hopelessness. You can summarize it in one word, hopelessness. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. I can close my Bible and go home after that one. The creation waits in eager expectation. It's sitting there, it's excited, it cannot wait. It's like an ADHD kid that's just been to a birthday party with a lot of sugar. It's, can't wait, it's so exciting. Eager expectation for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as son, the redemption of our bodies. For in his hope, we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. There's a key word, patience. How can we be patient without hope? We're going to get to that. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groans that cannot be expressed. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit in the throne room of God, that same Holy Spirit that is interceding and testifying to the fact that you are a son of God, that same Holy Spirit is praying prayers with groans that cannot be expressed in words. For you, for your future. As he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So we're going to talk about our futures for a second. And when we're talking about future, we're talking about hope. Whenever you talk about the subject of future, you're talking about the subject of hope. Because a person who does not have hope, it's impossible for him to believe the fact that God has a future waiting for you, that there is a purpose for your life. It's impossible. Without hope, without that hope, it's impossible. So I'm gonna give you another minute to pray just now. And I'm going to ask God to reveal to you places in your life that you're worrying about the future. That you've stopped dreaming somewhere along the way. You're just hoping that you can put enough money into a savings account so that you can save up for your retirement and die. Now, it sounds morbid, but some people think like that. That's what they worry about. In our economic climate and what we go through, we need a job, we need a degree. And what it's come down to is people are saving up for the time that they can die. And it's sad. God has called us for so much more than that. And there's some people here who can't see past their exams, can't see past their degrees. Yeah. And some laughs there as well. But God has come to give you hope, right? So I'm going to pray again. And we're going to ask that God reveals to you areas of your life where you do not have hope. Where when you think about the future and what's to come, something's not aligning. Luke, I understand what you're reading in the word here, but it's not lining up with the way that I feel about what's to come. You say, you know, what I'm going through is not even worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed in me. That's great, Luke. Sounds fantastic. Awesome scripture. But, okay, that's where you fill in the dots. So let's close our eyes. You're just going to pray, ask God to reveal that to you. What are the areas in your life that you need hope? So we've spoken about a past, we've spoken about a future, but I believe that the real ministry that God wants to talk to us about is today. There's some people praying in the back, that's fine, just let them continue. But just for those of you standing, I just want you to just quiet your spirit. I believe that there's a word in season and there's a word for today that God wants to give each and every person. And what I'm trusting for is that nobody leaves this room without that word in season and word for today. Sometimes it's good to dredge up the past and lay it to rest, and sometimes it's good to be reminded that we have a future. But we also need to understand that God is interested in where I'm at now and today, and that He has direction for you today, and that there is a word for you today. This last bit of scripture I'm going to read to you, and what I'm trusting is that God is going to reveal something to you that you've never known about Him for today, a word in season for today, specifically for today. I just want us just to get into this mode of worship, just the reason why we're worshiping God. Because our lifestyle is a lifestyle of worship. When we walk out the door, we are still worshiping God with our words and with our actions. And the music that we're worshiping Him to is the word and the season for today. That revelation that only comes from God, from above, about you, about who you are today. So if you want to lie down, if you want to sit down, if you want to stand up, if you want to stick your hands up, you want to close your eyes, you want to open your eyes, it's fine. I'm going to read the scripture to you. I want you to make yourself comfortable, like you're at home. Just went to the fridge, drank the milk straight out the bottle, put it back in the fridge. Now, you're going to go talk to your best friend and he's going to tell you something. Great. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those who He predestined, He also called. And those who He called, He also justified. And those who He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? There is no one. It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died? More than that, who was raised to life. Because it is Christ Jesus that is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. But who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Will your trouble? Will your hardship? Do you think your persecution or famine is going to separate you from the love of God? Do you think nakedness? Do you think danger? Do you think a sword can separate you from the love of God? It is written that for your sake we face death. All day long, we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But I'm telling you now that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.